expansion in Northern Italy and then Northern Europe. Is there still a Celtic component? Or the impact, the more recent impact of the invasion of the barbarians in the Middle Ages, Goths, Longobards, Normans, to the Arabian settlements in Sicily, all we hope we'll be able to deal with all this with Geno 2.0 thanks to National Geographic, and over the next few years we'll be able to study all this. And of course I haven't done all this by myself, but I would like to thank all those who worked with me. In Italy we work in a coordinated way with the two big European centres, the one in Barcelona with Jaume Bertrand Petit and David Comas for the Y chromosome, and with Luis Quintana Morsi for the mitochondrial DNA, and of course in close collaboration with the Genographic Consortium that has provided all the technical background and all the possibilities for the analysis to be carried out. And then all my collaborators, I started adding all the photos. Stefania Sarto is a PhD student and she will write a dissertation on the Genographic project. So rather than the photograph, we have her here. So thank you very much for your attention.
That's great. Thank you, Professor. At this point, I'd like to invite Professor David Caramelli also to say a few words. He's a professor of anthropology at the University of Florence. He received his diploma in natural sciences and in anthropological and ethnological sciences. Also the author of over 100 publications, and he will now give us a regional perspective as well to discuss his works.
I will speak in Italian, of course, but I want to thank Spencer and the other, Alex and the other, for the organization for inviting me. And I hope that my students will be happy, even the coffee break is not now, okay? Okay, I hope so. Okay, okay.
Actually, I would like to say a few words concerning my researches, because till now we heard talking about researches on modern samples, DNAs taken from people, as we have seen from the video. So thanks to all these DNAs, it has been possible to tell their evolutionary history. What I do is slightly different, but it is complementary to what Geographic program does. I analyze DNA from ancient findings, so anything which is done on modern findings corresponds to what I do on ancient ones. I want to show you some slides to let you better understand. So this is the starting point of my work, and it corresponds to that. Everything, of course, is pretty complex, because unlike DNAs taken from alive people, taken DNA from dead people, is much more difficult, and therefore you have to be very cautious in analyzing, and in particular as for contaminations. There are several approaches that allow us to carry out these analyses. Till now, we apply the approach showed by Professor Pattern and Wells. And this approach allowed us to achieve very, very interesting results. First of all, I would like to share with you the result we published in 2003. For the first time, we proved that DNA DNA, the mitochondrial DNA of ancient sapiens, of our ancestries, were totally different from Neanderthal. So we proved that a mitochondrial lineage between us and Neanderthal did not exist at that time. Here we have an American review that our colleagues know very well, and they compared several skulls. And on the site, that entailed many, many critics. It was a very complex work that entailed many remarks by several colleagues, as the magazine Nature stated. Afterwards, we have been the first ones here in Florence from my access. You can understand easily that I'm from Florence. So we carried out this work on Montelicini, but we also analyzed samples from Spain. So the main target was to find out that Neanderthals with the mitochondrial DNA were pretty alike, because there are just a few. But if we compared mitochondrials from Neanderthal and the ones of our dear friends sapiens, that is to say our ancestries, we noticed that they were very different. And that was a constant feature. We also made comparisons between modern DNA on ancient samples. We also analyzed the Neanderthal language. We wondered whether they were able to have an articulated language. In 2008, we carried out a study published on Caribiology. We stated that as for language, we owned the same lineage, the same DNA. Afterwards, we carried out other studies concerning phenotypes. We discovered that they have both white skin and red hair. And this survey published on Science stated that Neanderthals had this aspect because it was a different genome, so it was a deviation. So in other works, our work is pretty complex. We start analyzing bones, we carried out several molecular operations, but the most interesting point is that today we are able to analyze, as Professor Spencer and Patton said, we are able to analyze 10,000 fragments. Regardless it is modern or not ancient, if it is ancient, it is much more expensive. Thanks to these new technologies, here it is. These technologies helping us, allowed us to discover interesting things. For example, that Neanderthal had a similar DNA, as Professor Spencer said. Maybe for some sapiens, non-Neanderthals or Neanderthals had selective disadvantages because they were affected by diseases much more frequently than sapiens. And we emphasized that we have these two variants allowing us to get less serious diseases, although we are in contact with specific bacteria. But what represents a real revolution for this kind of science is the Neanderthal genome that was codified 2 years ago, the one I've showed you. And we noticed that when we made a comparison among VIP volunteers. So thanks to this analysis, we knew that probably we share 1 to 4% of genome with Neanderthals. And this is very interesting, but still we are not sure 100% that this is true, because we still have to find